The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
This schedule is so good, you guys. Soon, while you can't rule out the possibility that Mac Jones starts week four for the Patriots against Tom Brady and the Bucs as Brady returns to Foxborough, that's spicy. We got NFL Live coming your way. You see him right there, Marcus Spears, Lewis Wooding. Adam Schefter's busy on the phone, so you know that means something. And you better believe we are diving deep into the 2021 NFL schedule with everything you need to know and more. We begin with the dates you guys have circled on your calendars. And listen, Adam's starting off with the really big one. Why is this one important? Tampa Bay in New England.
Against the most decorated quarterback of all time, with the most decorated quarterback of all time, going back to the place that he used to call home in a city of legendary sports figures. Is there anybody more legendary than Tom Brady? Bucks, Patriots, week four. Put it down now. Get ready for the game of the regular season.
Yo, week 14, Els. Everybody's telling me that the Cowboys are going to be bad and the newly Fitzmagic Washington football team is going to be the leader of this conference. I cannot wait for this matchup. We all know what the implications will be. But seeing both of these teams face off, seeing Dak Prescott in this offense against this great Washington football team defense, week 14.
Man, Marcus, nobody wants to see the Dallas Cowboys. People want to see the New England Patriots. They want to see them go up to Buffalo week 13 on Monday Night Football and see Bill say, hey, Buffalo, you swept me last year, huh? You really thought that my downfall, my demise was imminent, huh? No, not so fast, man. We're going to come back up here with a newly retooled football team. We're strong on both lines. We may have a new quarterback playing by that time by the name of Mac Jones. Here we come, baby.
Lewis, speaking of new quarterbacks, I'm looking at week one, Packers taking on the Saints. Will it be Aaron Rodgers? Is he going to end up starting this game? Will it be Jordan Love making his debut for Green Bay? This one has all the makings of a really dramatic start to the season, and it's going to be fascinating on both sides. The Saints have their own storylines as well, but the league seems at least a little confident that Aaron Rodgers isn't going anywhere, as the Packers have five primetime games, starting with Monday Night Football against the Lions in week two. They have a trio of Sunday night affairs, two coming against NFC North rivals and taking on the Cardinals in week eight on Thursday Night Football. Green Bay's week 14 and week 17 contest could be flexed out by the league in the event that Rodgers does not return to the team. So a little bit of flexibility there. But Adam, five primetime games certainly feels like the NFL maybe knows that Aaron Rodgers will be in Green Bay. How much do they do from a homework standpoint to try and find out about this stuff when they make the schedule?
Well, I can tell you this, Laura, the league does a lot of work into it, makes a lot of calls, tries to figure out exactly what we're all trying to figure out, whether Aaron Rodgers will or won't be back in Green Bay this season. And they take that into consideration when they're making the schedule to try to figure out where they should put the Packers in. And I can tell you the league has done an unbelievable job usually at figuring out these things and putting the pieces in place so that the league can capitalize on them. But the fact of the matter is right now, nobody knows whether Aaron Rodgers will or will not be back in Green Bay this season. And I know there have been a lot of players, former teammates, former Packers that have come out and said, yes, we're optimistic. Yes, this can be repaired. Yes, all these things are happening. But my question would be, have any of them spoken to Aaron Rodgers? And unless Aaron Rodgers has directly told them that, and my guess is he hasn't, then I don't know where all this optimism would be coming from at this point in time. So we'll wait to see what he decides. I think the Packers' best hope right now is that we're in May. The schedule release came out last night. Training camp's getting closer. He loves his teammates. He loves his coaches. And you would hope that over time, he misses them enough to soften in his stance and decide to come back and play another year in Green Bay. Short of that, I don't know that it's going to happen.
Man, what a strange, strange situation that basically has been caused by an inability of the Packers hierarchy to simply communicate. not alter their plans. Simply communicate your plans to your future Hall of Fame quarterback. Make him understand. Well, not make him understand. Just communicate to him that, hey, look, while we know that you are someone who has done tremendous things for our organization, we also are charged with having to look out into the future and kind of plan for the future. So we're going to draft a quarterback. That's all you had to do. Now, it just reeks of desperation in Titletown. It reeks of a front office now that is running around trying to figure out, what do we need to do? How do we need to, how can we put this genie back in the bottle? How can we make our franchise or our future Hall of Fame quarterback come back to us and kind of have us all, you know, kind of feeling good again and moving forward down the line? Because I'll tell you what, somebody miscalculated here in the first place about where Aaron Rodgers was in his career. Was he actually on the downswing? Did he just not maybe play up to his potential, you know, a couple of years ago, but he still was on the upswing, or rather, he still was going to be able to maintain his performance? Because now it may just be a situation where they have to pay out the nose to keep him happy and then blow up all of their plans long term. It's not a good situation overall.
And to your point, Lou, that would be the stupidest thing, because it would be the direct opposite of their frame mind and the way of thinking by obviously going up and get Jordan Love. Look, I've said this 1,000 times. I have absolutely no problem with the Green Bay Packers drafting Jordan Love. I have zero issue with that, because I look right across the street in Pittsburgh and you see what the problem is when you don't have a succession plan and the things that teams have to go through. But guys, I'm not optimistic. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to be in Green Bay. And I know that it's a lot of red tape to work through. But I feel like this point is a point that they've reached over time. And I know that Schefter reported it. I know a lot of people have talked about it in the newness of the conversation about Aaron Rodgers not being with the Green Bay Packers anymore. But I always make a point to remind people that this did not just start the night of the draft. This has been going on for a long time. So I do think people have put their foot in the sand and they plan on staying there.
And that's exactly the issue, Marcus. It's been going on for a while, and I don't believe that money is going to make this go away. I don't believe this is a contract issue, despite the fact that the Green Bay Packers, at some point this offseason, did offer him a contract extension. Maybe they didn't do it in a timely enough fashion to his liking or his satisfaction. But I don't believe at this point in time it's about money. And the ironic part about this, of course, is that the money tied up in Aaron Rodgers' contract without him restructuring or extending that deal now prevents them from doing other things like extending Davante Adams, who now has his own questions about whether he wants to stay in Green Bay because of Aaron Rodgers' uncertainty.
What a conundrum. I'll say this,
simply
too.
Because...
Oh, go ahead, Lou. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, Laura, it's simply because you don't want to have open lines of communication, and you want to make sure that the football team is the football team, the players are the players, and you are the management, and you don't want to bridge that gap and bring your franchise quarterback into the fold. That is just extremely, extremely unaware and unnecessary.
Yeah. Marcus,
can I ask something,
yeah,
please?
Okay.
Lou, you've been in this situation. Lou, what should that exact conversation have been with Aaron Rodgers? And the thought process of taking a quarterback.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Look, I just know this, okay? Let me just take you real quickly back to my experience in Philadelphia when Andy Reid was there and in charge of personnel and in charge of the football operation. He would allow the personnel department to handle certain things as far as when players were coming and going, and he didn't necessarily need to speak to them. When it came to the big transactions, when it came to the players who played critical positions and players who had really earned that kind of respect, meaning the head coach wanted to talk to him, he took it over. He communicated to him directly. That's very simple, Marcus. I mean, we don't even really need to get into the specifics of the conversation. It's just those certain players right. have really earned that type of respect. Aaron Rodgers is one of those guys. It's not hard. I mean, this isn't hard at all. And that's what's so mind-blowing
about all of this.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers knows he's one of those guys. The reality is, if he's not playing for this Packers team, the NFC North all of a sudden becomes very manageable for other teams. Let's get to Monday Night Football. We now know the slate, and there are some fantastic games. Louis Riddick on the call for all the Monday Night Football matchups. Adam on Monday Night Countdown. Lou, give us a Monday Night game you are most excited about.
Well, there it was, right there on the screen, right? I mean, week one, Ravens at the Raiders, out there at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas on the strip with fans in attendance. No one was inside of this stadium last year except for the players, the coaches, the TV, broadcast booths. No one even saw what it was like inside of this place in a gate on game day. And for us to open the season, the 2021 season there, with this football team, with the expectations surrounding the Raiders and Lamar Jackson coming to town, it's going to be extremely emotional and just electric beyond belief.
Well, Lou, I feel like y'all going to have a hell of a game with this one as well, man. When you look at what the Arizona Cardinals did this offseason and also what the Los Angeles Rams did with bringing in Matthew Stafford, Sean McVay has pressure, people. I want all of y'all to realize that this LA Rams team has mortgaged their future to win a Super Bowl this year or next year. And the Cardinals did the same by going to get J.J. Watt and all of those ads.
And I look at the Rams 49ers game. Anytime Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan get to match wits, that is interesting. And now you've got Matthew Stafford going to play up against either Trey Lance or Jimmy Garoppolo. Again, this is maybe the most high-powered division in all of football, and it comes into focus in Week 10 with the Los Angeles Rams at the San Francisco 49ers.
The Monday Night Football music just gets you excited for football. We are just getting started here on NFL Live. We now know when Tom Brady is going to make his triumphant return to New England. Find out why Brady is still dictating the Patriots' moves, even from a distance. And the only thing better than a Belichick-Brady reunion is a Post Malone-Jerry Jones collab. You heard me, okay? Okay, plus we know Marcus loves the Cowboys out of the NFC East, but Lewis does not. We'll discuss why next. The boys are ready today. Let's go. Be right back.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Sunday afternoon, we'll have the FCS Championship game on ABC and the ESPN app. The number one South Dakota State Jackrabbits squaring off against number two Sam Houston. Don't miss it. Our coverage starts at 2 Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. All right, did you see this from the Dallas Cowboys? They got Jerry Jones and Posty. Marcus, I don't know. This was so unexpected for me. I just don't even know where to begin. So I'm going to let you take it away. Posty!
Well, L Boogie, the problem is, right, everybody always asking, why is Dallas America's team? Because of stuff like this. The stars show up for the Dallas Cowboys. This is an example of that. Post Malone, obviously, becoming a legendary musician, a hip-hop artist, slash whatever. He's very versatile in his music selection. Hooking up with Jerry Jones. Jerry understanding how to sell season tickets, how to make everybody invested. He's tapping into the younger generation. And Lou and everybody else be mad because Dallas is America's team. But this is what we do, baby. This is what we do in the detail.
What?
We bring the stars.
They're making it rain. What are we going to do with them?
Hey, well, you know what? That's all great. I mean, that's great. If that's really what you want to do, you just want to like kind of like bring in the stars and you know sell tickets. But hey, at some point in time, you got to win football games, right? That's what you got to do. You got to win some football games at some point in time here.
All right, listen, Adam, we're getting back to business. Okay, yeah, here we go. All right, Jerry Jones and company have some bouncing back to do at Toulouse Point from a 6-10 campaign last season, but some good news for Cowboys fans. Based on opponent win percentage in 2020, the Cowboys had the NFL's second easiest schedule after the Eagles. The NFC East is always so competitive. The division hasn't had a repeat champ since 2004 Eagles. That 16-season stretch without one, the longest for any division since the 1970 merger. Let's start here on the Cowboys. Adam, we know Cowboys fans are hoping that Dak will be ready for that week one game against Tampa, but where is he in his rehab?
Well, we still have 4 months till the start of the season, so there's no need to rush things along. But the signs at this time are that he's on track, that he's making progress, he's coming along, and that's encouraging for the Dallas Cowboys. They're going to need him back for that Thursday night, September 9th, regular season opener against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We all remember the broken ankle from last October. He had the surgery. He's been rehabbing, had another surgery to help further correct the issue. But again, right now, it looks like he's tracking to be ready for the opener.
Lewis, let's talk NFC East as a whole. I kind of have a feeling that you're going to go a direction that's not the same as Marcus here. Who do you have winning the NFC East?
Yeah, let's talk about the NFC East. You know, all that Post Malone and all that stuff that Marcus says makes them America's team and makes them the place with D-Town. Is that what you call it, a D-Town, right? All right, well, let's go ahead and talk about the D-Town. NFC East. You know, at the very top of the NFC East, we're going to talk about the WFT, the Washington football team. I think they're going to win this division. And I'll tell you why. Because they have done the best job of roster construction, believe it or not. And if Ryan Fitzpatrick is someone who can actually go ahead and elevate his play to the point where maybe they win a game or two because of him instead of having to win in spite of him, this team's going to run away with the division. They've got strength on the offensive line. They added playmakers on the perimeter. They drafted Diami Brown out of North Carolina. They already have Terry McLaurin. They add Curtis Samuel. And then on the defensive side, you know, Marcus, you know defensive line play. You know they can rush the passer. So you know they already got that. They draft Jamin Davis out of Kentucky. They've got it going on there. You know, and secondly, I'll tell you this. The team that's going to make the biggest jump in this division, that's going to catch some people off guard, is the New York Giants. Because I think that Dave Gettleman has done as good a job this year as far as improving this football team as he's done since he has been there. They had weapons on the offensive side of the ball. Daniel Jones has no excuses as far as throwing the football. They addressed the defense in the draft. And hey, after that, then it's the Dallas Cowboys. They're going to be third. Philadelphia's going to bring up the rear. That's the way it's going to go. But you know what? You won the offseason, Marcus. You had to need a schedule reveal.
It's because I'm on the show. It's because I'm on the show. It's absolutely because I'm on the show, L Boogie. He put the Cowboys third because Lou knew we were doing this show together, and he knew what type of reaction he was going to get from me. And damn it, Lou, you got it. You got exactly what you asked for. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to talk about you mentioning Ryan Fitzpatrick and Daniel Jones. A 80% healthy Dak Prescott is 10 times better than both of those guys. We know defensively, Lou. We know schematically. Dallas last year had no idea what they were doing. The defense had no clue. Just by them knowing the scheme, they're going to be better than they were last year. I think Micah Parsons is a difference maker. I really do. If you look at the game today, and you think I keep him in the same vein of the Devin White, the Darius Leonard, where you can get creative. I'm going to get the football. I'm not going to let Lou get my blood pressure up and get all emotional. I agree with you. When you look at Washington football team from a defensive standpoint, it's clear that's the best unit. But Lou, the best unit in the NFL East offensively is the Dallas Cowboys. And every time we have this conversation, people forget that Zeke Elliott is still the running back there. I do not expect Zeke to have a bad season again. I do not expect this offensive line to be completely decimated. And I expect the 4-3 hybrid 3-4 scheme from Dan Quinn to remind us of the good players on Dallas defense. Also, we're adding some of that talent. Lou, you want to fight? I'm ready to fight, but I got to get to some football. Okay, don't see it how everybody else is seeing it.
Now, let me ask you this. In the trenches, Washington. In the trenches, both defensively and offensively. Yeah. Who has the edge, Washington or Dallas? Which team?
Washington has the edge defensively, for sure. Defensively, Washington football team, front seven, is probably the best in the league.
How about in the trenches offensively? Who do you give the edge to there? Washington or Dallas?
Lou, I ain't giving Lou. I'm not giving the edge to the Washington football team offensive line coming into this season. No way.
Okay. Well, I will tell you this. Look, I love Dak Prescott. You know that. And we know that they have tremendous perimeter weaponry. But I'll tell you, they drafted six players initially in the draft, the first six picks for a reason on the defensive side of the ball. You can't assume that all those guys are going to make a tangible difference right out of the gate. And defense running the football wins championships. We know that. We have seen that. Washington can do that right now. We'll see what happens with the Giants. I just think they're going to be much improved. Philly's bringing up the rear. I'm not even worried about them right now. But we're going to see what happens.
Really fast. Adam, you want to get in the fray here at all?
Got anything? Listen, I like what Dan Quinn brings to Dallas. And Dallas's defense was so bad last year. You get the defense better. You get Dak back healthy. And I would say last year we were talking about Dallas as a viable contender. Why wouldn't the Cowboys be that
this year? That every year.
Hey. I gotta tell you, you guys are making me sweat. So can you pass me that sweat towel screen here?
But wait, Washington is good.
Coming up, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick will go blow for blow week four in their reunion. We're not the only ones excited. Here's Brady's dad.
I said that the schedule came out last night, and I started celebrating when I saw that we play the Patriots in the fourth game of the season.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Get your popcorn ready for the Brady Belichick reunion. I can smell the butter in here, actually. This one under the lights, week four in New England. The two accomplished absolute greatness in 20 seasons together. The most seasons by any player-coach duo in the NFL, in MLB, NBA, or NHL history. Brady and Belichick won a record six Super Bowl titles in nine appearances in the game. And their 249 wins, including playoffs, are the most by a quarterback head coach duo in the Super Bowl era. Today, in response to the week four Buccaneers game at the Patriots, Tom Brady tweeted, "It's like when your high school friends meet your college friends." So I'm assuming that means that his college friends are the Bucs and the high school friends are the Patriots. It's kind of a shot. But anyway, Lewis, how much emotion do you think Brady and Belichick will bring in this matchup, considering the kind of non-emotional guys for the most part? This one's different, right?
Yeah, look, the juxtaposition is kind of fascinating, isn't it? I mean, the emotion is what makes Tom Brady what he is, which is one of the greatest winners of all time within the context of a team sport. It's what everyone really aspires to be within the context of a team sport. And he's a self-made guy, and the passion and the fiery temperament is part of that, versus the greatest, you know, head coach maybe of the modern era, maybe of all time. Well, in my opinion, he's the greatest head coach of all time. And his, you know, his level-headedness, his ability to kind of take the biggest moments and really just boil them down to some simple fundamentals and remove emotion from it, I think that's just going to be fascinating. Just the pregame, seeing Tom run out and see what his emotions, what his body language would be on that day, and seeing Bill walk out of the locker room and seeing what his emotions and his demeanor would be that day. And then ultimately when they meet and they meet eyes and really see each other for the first time on the football field, you know, on opposing sidelines, what's that going to be like? I just think it's just going to be high drama. It's going to be must-see TV. Obviously, maybe one of the most watched games that we have seen in recent memory.
Yeah, Lou, I'm telling you, man, I'm super intrigued by the emotional part, but I'm also intrigued by the philosophy and the scheme and how this game will be played. What do we know Bill Belichick for? We know Bill Belichick from a defensive standpoint for taking away everything you do well, and that is his MO. He hung his hat on that last year playing against the Kansas City Chiefs when his starting quarterback that game was Brian Hoyer. And what do we know for? Figuring out the code and finally breaking through and figuring out a way to win football games. So from the standpoint of both of these minds, being different guys on each side of the ball, going up against each other, what's the other thing that Tom Brady suffers with? Pressure. Last year, Tom Brady completed 35% of his passes against pressure. He had zero touchdowns with five interceptions. And we saw some of that pressure impact him against the Green Bay Packers as well in the playoffs. The mental part of this game, how these guys are going to attack each other. And yes, I know Byron Leftwich and Bruce Arians are going to have a lot to do with that philosophy offensively as well. But Bill Belichick has been doing this for years. I cannot wait to see who's going to win that battle.
Yeah, it feels like already this game's just going to come down to the wire no matter what happens. But, Adam, we did see the Patriots and Bill Belichick go on a spending spree in free agency. How much of what Brady did with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers influenced what New England did in the offseason?
Well, it's interesting, Laura, because I think if we go back to when Tom left New England, I think one of the reasons he left is because he recognized the lack of talent surrounding him, and he opted to go sign with a team that did have a lot more talent. And so this offseason, New England goes out and gets a lot of the talent, which is one of the reasons that I think Tom left New England. And New England spent more than anybody this year. They shored up the wide receiver position with the acquisitions of Kendrick Bourne and Nelson Aguilar, tight end Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry, added defensive help, offensive help, help all across the board, I think, fueled by the motivation of Tom Brady hoisting the Vince Lombardi trophy. Now, again, New England's just not used to not making the playoffs and not having a successful season. And to see Tom have the type of season that he did, I think, is just another factor that makes New England that much more motivated. Not that the Patriots ever needed any motivation to be the great franchise that they are.
You know, Lewis, this game is week four, but how soon do you think it would be potentially that we would see Mac Jones? Is this a scenario where we could maybe see Mac Jones already playing for the Patriots against the Buccaneers and Tom Brady?
Look, I think there are coaches that talk and then there are coaches that walk what they talk, okay? Bill is one of those people who kind of walks what he talks about, meaning this. If Mac Jones proves during the offseason and in training camp and then during the first 3 weeks of the regular season that he is capable of executing this offense to a level that he truly, truly gives this football team the best chance to win, then he'll be out there and he will play. Bill is one of those people who really tries to really run his football team as objective as he possibly can and remove as much emotion as he possibly can. I would not put it past Mac. Everybody who has coached him says he has tremendous, tremendous computing power in terms of being able to make decisions and protect the football. And that's something that we know Bill covets. So let's just see what happens.
Adam, quickly, I felt like you wanted to say something right there.
Well, again, keep in mind that Mac Jones was the guy that many people thought would wind up going number three in the draft. And had he gone number three, people would have expected that he would have started sooner. I think he'll be squaring the competition for that starting quarterback job.
Yeah, listen, if Belichick feels really good about his defense, too, he's probably like, let's see what we can do on offense and try it out. All right, still to come, the Colts and Carson Wentz have a lot to prove to the rest of the league. The key to success, Lewis says Wentz needs to trust Frank Reich. Sound familiar, Philly fans? We'll be right back. Carson Wentz may have to play like an MVP early on. The schedule makers made it difficult. Indy hosting the Seahawks and Rams to start, then head on the road to play the Titans, Dolphins, and Ravens, giving them the toughest first five games of any team this season. The Colts will be the third team ever to start their season with five straight opponents who had double-digit wins the prior year, joining the 1986 Colts and 1992 Saints. So, listen, I don't know about MVP, but Marcus, what do you think about Carson Wentz and how he'll fare early on to start the season with the Colts?
So that's the question, right, Els? Because, look, as much as we put that schedule up about Indianapolis, but also those teams with the Colts on their schedule have that one circled too as a really good team, either coming into their building or that they're going to have to play. And you've heard me say it before. I believe that this is the most pressure that Carson Wentz will be under in his career because Frank Reich bet on Carson Wentz. And Frank Reich bet on Carson Wentz after going to the playoffs and having an opportunity to beat the Buffalo Bills with Phillip Rivers as his quarterback. So this is already a good football team. We saw Darius Leonard in the offseason talk about just come here to win, come here to play. So all of the things that transpired in Philly, Carson Wentz needs to put that in the rear view. And his play and how we judge his career ultimately will probably be based in this particular part of his year, of his career. So all of the pressure on Wentz, Frank Reich said, look, this is my guy. I can get him back to MVP form. I can put him in a better situation as he is from a team perspective. We'll see how they operate these first four games, and Carson Wentz is going to have a lot to do with that.
Look, we teased this segment by calling, by titling it, Trust the Process, right? And that's exactly what this is going to be about in the first quarter of this season. It's going to be about Carson Wentz trusting the process, one, that he himself initiated in terms of getting out of Philadelphia and getting back to a guy in Frank Reich who he did trust, that he did believe had his best intentions, or rather had his best interest in mind, and a guy who understood Carson himself and understood what it took to have him play great. And he believed that Frank Reich was going to put him in those positions. Well, during those first five games of the regular season, he's going to go up against some defenses that, quite honestly, are going to put him under duress, that are going to stress him in ways that obviously he's seen before. He's played in this league before, but they're going to put the pressure on him, both literally and figuratively. And I think he's going to have to understand that, look, I need to stay within the structure of this offense and trust this guy, Frank Reich, that I basically moved heaven and earth to make sure I could get back to, and allow him to help him to guide me through this early part of the regular season. Because if he does that, they'll come out good on the other side, because I believe this football team is a good football team and they are going to win the South. If he doesn't, you may have a repeat performance of what happened in Philadelphia, where he kind of went off the rails and started doing his own thing, and that's not going to be good for anyone in Indianapolis, and not what they're counting on.
Yeah, as you guys are talking through this, it also makes me think about the pressure on Frank Reich, because he's the guy that stuck his neck out to get Carson Wentz. But as you look at the AFC South, Marcus, does the schedule, now we know it, does that change your mind on who's going to win the AFC South?
It doesn't, Ailes, because I believe Carson Wentz is going to be a better version of himself. Even if he's not back to MVP form, this is when you start to talk about what's surrounding him, right? He'll be complemented by a really good run game, a really good offensive line, playmakers on the outside, and from a defensive standpoint, the Indianapolis Colts is as good as anybody in the league. So when you look at this team holistically, Carson Wentz just has to be a manager and at times ascend to the guy that we remember as an MVP caliber type player.
Yeah, Carson Wentz, this is your best fresh start. Let's go and see what you got. Up next, the Browns, Ravens, Bills, and the Bills, slated to play the Chiefs in the first 5 weeks of the season. That's tough to start the season for the Chiefs, but Marcus is not worried about the Super Bowl runner-ups. He'll tell you why. The Chiefs are still going to be just fine. Coming up next, we'll be right back. All signs point to Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson starting week one, right, for their respective teams. But how about the other first-round quarterbacks? Lewis, between Trey Lance, Justin Fields, and Mac Jones, who starts first?
Man, this is such a tough question. I'm going to go with Justin Fields week five for the Chicago Bears out there in Vegas on the road, simply because this, I just think the difference between him and Andy Dalton is so great that as soon as Matt Nagy can get him up to speed from a mental standpoint and get him comfortable to the point where he can execute enough of the offense, protect himself, and give them the best chance to win, he'll put him in there. And I just think that the disparity is just going to be too great. The gulf is going to be too wide in order for him to ignore it, you know, much past the first quarter of the season, and you'll see number one in there.
Lou, I agree with you on Justin Fields will be the starter, but I think it'll be week one, man. Look, we were deprived last year of an entire offseason, even preseason games, where he'll have an opportunity to give an indication of how he will be during the regular season. And I think his athleticism, his ability to throw the football, and the excitement that he'll bring to this offense, especially when they've been starving for some excitement at that position in Chicago, I think it'll be week one for Justin Fields, man.
And keep in mind, with Trey Lance, the 49ers believe that he might be the quarterback in this draft who's ready to play the quickest because of his mental aptitude, because of how quick he picks things up, because of how well he tested psychologically, off the charts. And so Trey Lance is going to be further along for a player who didn't play last year, who did play at North Dakota State, than people even realize. So don't be surprised if Trey Lance surprises people this summer more than people are expecting.
Lewis, what do you think about Lance possibly being out there early in the season?
Yeah, I could see it. I could totally see it, Laura. I think early on in the pre-draft run-up, identified both San Francisco and Tennessee as being perfect matches for Trey simply because of the offense that he ran at North Dakota State. And then when you watch the Atlanta Falcons and you watch Arthur Smith's offense when he was in Tennessee, and then you watch San Francisco and what Kyle Shanahan has done historically, it looked very, very similar. The personnel groupings, the formation variations, the uses of motion and just pre-snap shifts, it all looked the same. The wide zone running scheme, the boots and play actions off of it, it all makes sense. So I just think he's going to be further along than maybe any of these quarterbacks, and I'm with Adam. I wouldn't be shocked if he takes over Jimmy Garoppolo's starting spot just like that.
Yeah, and no offense to Jimmy G, but that's exciting to think about. A couple of well-established quarterbacks open the season against each other in Patrick Mahomes and Baker Mayfield. A rematch of the AFC Divisional Round 2 when Mahomes left the game with a concussion. The Browns saw a game they felt they should have won slip through their fingers thanks to heroic play calling, you could say, by Andy Reid and execution by Chad Henne. So look at this. The Chiefs have been hunted for years, and now 2021 will be no different. Mahomes and company get everybody's best shot. Look at the following openers here for them. After the Browns, they got the Ravens, they've got the Chargers, the Bills. This thing is a gauntlet as you go down here. I might really just make some people mad and just start putting some losses up here on the board. I'm just kidding. We won't do that. But as you see the schedule, you realize that it's really, really, really tough. The first seven are actually against playoff teams as you look through here for the Chiefs. So it's incredibly difficult for them. Marcus, as you see this, are you concerned about them and what the Chiefs can do this year? Are you like, no big deal. They're going to be fine.
No. And look, Lou sitting next to me, he called my man Pat Mahomes. I think Maserati is, that's what you call him, Lou. Listen, man.
Hold on. Before you get going, this is the Ferrari. Okay? The other one, Maserati thing, that thing is long gone. Don't even bring that up.
Sorry.
I said don't bring it up.
Sorry. I couldn't hear you.
Don't bring it up.
To that point, though,
like, listen, Kansas City knows this is all too familiar territory for them. They understand that they'll be hunted every time that they're on the football field, and everybody's going to bring their A game when they play against them. The problem is that Kansas City very rarely lets up. We saw them earlier last year struggle. They were winning some close games. So this is not going to be anything new. I expect them to actually come out of the gate a lot better, a lot well-oiled. They'll have an offseason now. This offensive line, bringing in Thuney, Orlando Brown. We'll see where Kyle Long is, who they signed in the offseason after being away from football for a while. We'll see how his progression goes. But we all know, if you protect Patrick Mahomes, you have a chance to win every single game you play in. And not only have a chance, more than likely, if he has the opportunity or the ball to win a game, he's going to win it. That's what his career has told us up until this point.
Yeah, I think the thing that you see in the early part of that schedule, Laura, is a lot of teams that have great defensive lines and can really, really make life miserable for your quarterback. And to that end, Brett Veach knew that he had to take care of the general manager of the Chiefs, had to take care of this offensive line, especially after what happened in the Super Bowl. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. As soon as that game ended, he knew he had to go to work and revamp this O-line. You could possibly have 5 new starters on this O-line. You definitely will have 4 new starters on this O-line, and the strength will be right in the middle. It will be absolutely right in the middle. You're going to have Austin Blythe at center. Creed Humphrey may start at center. At left guard, you're going to have Joe Thuney. At right guard, you're possibly going to have Kyle Long. And then at left tackle, you have Orlando Brown, and we'll see what happens at right tackle. If these guys are as good on the football field as they are on paper, because on paper, they had nobody who was better than them 1 through 5 in the NFL. These guys could be the best unit in the NFL. If they can capture the line of scrimmage,
no doubt,
the way theoretically you think they should be able to, and protect theoretically the way they should be able to, this could be potentially the best offense in the Patrick Mahomes era that we have seen so far.
Wow.
And they will score over 30 points a game. I'm just telling you, they will light it up because they will be able to control the line of scrimmage in a way that they haven't been able to control it since he's been there, and that's scary.
And Lou, if you go back to the start of free agency,
We should have seen this coming because they made a big-time bid for Trent Williams. And when they didn't get Trent Williams, they went and go spent that money elsewhere. Joe Tooney, Orlando Brown, all these other players. And so you could tell right away from the outset that Kansas City's mission 1A this offseason was to upgrade its offensive line, and the Chiefs have done that.
Yeah, you know, Marcus, it just makes me think. There are these quarterbacks out there, maybe Aaron Rodgers and some others, who have been upset with the way that their teams, their front offices have handled things. Then you've got the Chiefs saying, you know what, Patrick Mahomes, you were pressured 29 times in the Super Bowl. We're going to get you the best O-line in the league. That's how you run an organization that wins Super Bowls, right?
Good point.
Absolutely. Listen, you identify your issues, and Lou can speak to this as much as I can, but being in the league and watching teams try to continue to not only compete at a high level, but to cover up their deficiencies. The Kansas City Chiefs, when you look at their team, it's no major deficiencies outside of the injuries that they suffered last year on that offensive line, and then we saw that come to fruition in the Super Bowl against Tampa, who's a phenomenal defense and who will give you problems anyway, even if you have a good offensive line. But and we also saw some of the greatness and some of the things that are out of worldly that Patrick Mahomes can do as well. So now you go protect him. And that is the point that Lou is making. The point that you made, Els, about Aaron Rodgers. That's been more about skill players. The offensive line has been solid in Green Bay for Aaron Rodgers. But identifying what hurt you. Why did we not win certain games? What part of our team do we need to improve the most? And you go spend money on that. Kansas City did it. And previously, like we talked about, Bill Belichick did it in New England. And we expect both of those teams to be be better than they were last year.
With all due respect to everybody else, who's the most important guy? The quarterback. Kansas City has catered to that. Others? Yeah. Not so much.
Look, every time I talked to Brett Veach, the general manager, the first thing he said was, Lou, listen, I got to protect Patrick. That's it. Got to protect Patrick.
Yes.
That's all I got to do. That's my job. I got to protect this guy. I got to protect the $500 million man. Simple as that.
Protect your Ferrari. You get him a really
Ferrari.
Nice garage. All right, time for one more thing before we go. Adam's got some news. Take it away, Adam.
Well, Laura, it turns out that Greg Olsen, Travis Kelce, George Kittle, they're coming together to form a TEU, Tight End University. We're going to have that later this summer, train tight ends. There's more information on their Twitter site, their IG address. But I'll tell you what, if you're going to learn the tight end position, there aren't three players better than that to learn it from.
Yeah, I mean, Marcus was a tight end. Marcus, you can go out to TEU and show them what you got.
Hell no, I ate my way out of playing tight end. The first person that should be calling him is Tim Tebow. Because apparently, Urban Meyer wanted to play tight end for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
You know what? I'm going to leave that. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Thanks so much for tuning in to NFL Live.